Morning. The reading today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, and that's on page 670 of the Bibles on your seats. So that's Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, "Look, this is something new"? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. This is God's word.
Thank you, Juliet, very much for reading clearly for us. Well, we come back to this intriguing book that we began last week as we looked at the first two verses, and we're looking at verses 3 through to 11 now, this book of wisdom, which is designed to help us to live in the world as it really is. But we need the Lord's help, so shall we ask him in prayer to help us. Our Father, thank you for this book and its place in the scripture. Because you've included it, we know that we need to hear it. And also last week, you reminded us from the end of the book that the words that we're hearing are upright and true, and they come ultimately from you, the one shepherd. So please lead us, we pray, as our great shepherd today. In Christ's name, amen. On Friday evening, I started watching It's a Wonderful Life. It's the first time I've watched it, actually, and I know it's one of the greatest films, I'm told, of all time. I should have started watching it probably decades ago. And interestingly, there's a bit early on, which I noticed, about a guy, George Bailey, who's the main character. He wants to leave behind his hometown of Bedford Falls. As he thinks about it, he thinks, well, the idea of staying in the same old town, this little place, in the same old house, in the same old job, and just sort of plugging away year after year after year, well, it just leaves him restless. He wants to gain more from life. And he says, as he's speaking to his pop, he says, "I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in a shabby little office. I want to do something big, something important." He's thinking in these sort of thought bubbles in his mind, if you like. If he could be someplace else, then he could really be something. And if he could really be something, he could do something big. He wants to make a lasting impact. That's the thought bubble that he has. And if that is the case, well, Ecclesiastes is like a pin that comes along to burst that bubble. Last week we began reflecting upon this strange book and listening to the words of the author who's introduced us in verse 1 as the teacher. And the word teacher there is the Hebrew translation of Kohelet. He is literally Kohelet, that's his name. Kohelet or Q, as we'll talk. Refer to him, or as we'll refer to him as the preacher, because he's not just a teacher, he's preaching to a congregation. He has a message, he has a sermon. And his sermon begins by declaring that everything is hevel. That's the idea he wants us to grasp from verse 2. Hevel, hevel, utterly hevel, everything is hevel, is what he says. Now, hevel is tricky to translate, but it almost certainly doesn't mean meaningless, as the NIV has translated it. Kohelet is not Camus. Hevel literally means breath. And the metaphor is associated with many things. It's multifaceted. It is a little bit like an aerosol, as I said last week. If you take an aerosol and spray it, the mist it produces is fleeting. It's there for 1 minute. It's gone, well, the next second, really. But the mist is not only fleeting, it's also futile. So if you try and grab the mist and hold on to it, you just end up with a handful of nothing. But as well as being futile and fleeting, it is also foul, because many aerosols, they get to the back of your throat and make you choke. Fleeting, futile, foul. Everything is hevel. Everything is either fleeting or futile or foul. That is the preacher's thesis. And then in verse 3, here the preacher begins to show why everything is hevel. Because the gain we seek in life under the sun just doesn't exist. So he throws out a question to us. He says, what do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? What profit is there in a human life? My friend Alex took over a firm of solicitors, and I remember for the first few years at least, he was saying that after all the wages have been paid, after all of the expenses have been claimed, at the end of the month, there was just nothing left. There was no gain, there was no profit at all. Well, says the preacher, take that as a parable of life. Take that as a parable of your life. When all is said and done, for your 70 years, there will be no profit. Nothing to show for it. Sorry if that comes as a bit of a shock for you this morning. What Kohelet is going to show us is that for all of our toil under the sun, we gain absolutely nothing. This is a wisdom book, and wisdom is about living in the light of reality. And we are called to live in the light of this stark reality. Our lives will make no impact. We will die, and then we'll be forgotten. Now, just maybe you accept that's true. But it's not enough to accept it. You need to feel it. Deep down, you need to feel that this is true. And that's what the preacher wants for us. He wants us to feel this is true, that our lives can make absolutely no lasting impact. And we know he wants us to feel it, because after he's introduced the question in verse 3, he gives us a poem in verses 4 to 11, so we can begin to feel this. Verse 4. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows south and then turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come from, there they return again. Do you begin to feel it? The world is essentially unchanging, unaffected by the passing generations that come and go. We simply make no lasting impact. Recall Macbeth's words as he learns of the death of Lady Macbeth. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Life is gone in an hour, and then our tale is forgotten. And so, according to Shakespeare, death appears to render life utterly meaningless. But that isn't quite the point that Coelet is making. That's not quite his point. He differs from Shakespeare. His point isn't that life is meaningless. His point is that life makes no lasting impact. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Now, he illustrates this for us using creation itself. He says that the sun chases its tail, rising and setting it. In the east, rises and then sets in the west. It goes, rushes round, then it goes east to west, rushes round again, east to west, round and round. And then the wind blows south and then north before blowing south again, and then north again, and then south again, and then north again, and then it goes on and on, back and forth. And the streams, they flow down into the sea, evaporates, and then it rains, of course, back into the streams, which flows down back into the sea, which evaporates and goes round and goes back into the streams, which go back down to the sea, and it goes on and on, and the sea never gets full. And for all of this striving, all of this energy, all of this work, all of this toil, is there any gain? Is there any progress? Does anything really change? No. There's no lasting impact. The sun doesn't stop hurrying about. The wind doesn't stop rushing back and forth. And the water cycle never says at any point, hey guys, you know what, job done. The sea's full now, we can stop. Look at the creation, and we creatures cannot but gasp with wonder at what we see. We can't say enough words, we can't see enough, the ear can't hear enough. Like the sea, the ear is never full. And yet, despite all of the striving of creation and our lives, nothing is essentially gained. No profit, no lasting impact. And if we look at the creation and see this, if this is true then of the vast creation out there, what makes us puny individuals think that we can make a difference? Our lives are like hamster on a wheel, like a runner on a treadmill, like a commuter shuttling back and forth on the train. Full of striving, full of work, full of toil, but making absolutely no difference. All of the striving just goes on endlessly and is, verse 8, wearisome. Might remember Sisyphus from Greek mythology. Sisyphus, he's the man condemned to repeat the same task. He rolls the stone, the rock, up the hill, and he watches it as it rolls back down again. And he rolls it right up to the top of the hill, and he watches it as it comes back down again. And he rolls it right up to the top of the hill and watches it as it comes back down again, endlessly, forever. You think your life is any different? Think again. You'll make no impact because there is nothing new. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Our lives are like the person in a swimming pool. You make a big splash, thrash about and have some fun. But once you've left the pool, what is there to show for it? Have you made a difference to the pool? Have you left a body-shaped impression upon it? Is there a dent even? Anything at all? No, nothing. Just as the cycles of creation make no lasting impact, so our striving will have no lasting impact. You will find nothing new. Now, if you want to object and say with the objector in verse 10, well, look, what about technology? What about the internet? What about smartphones? Surely they're new. Well, you know what? People communicated and passed on information before 1969 or whenever the internet was invented. It was called a conversation, or pen and paper, or cuneiform cut into a slab of marble. Colette isn't saying there are no new inventions. I mean, that would be absurd. He's saying that there is nothing essentially new. The next new thing is always just a hand-me-down. So we have a new government, but still a government. A war starts, but, you know, wars have been starting for quite a long time now. Even a precious new baby. Babies have been born before. Of course, to a first-time parent, it doesn't feel that way. Any alleged new thing is simply a variation on a theme from the past. From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to be seen than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. There's far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round in the circle of life. Well, that's Elton John and his theme tune to The Lion King, and we might quibble with it being a little bit New Agey in places. But the preacher would give us a thumbs up, at least to this part of the song. Everything goes on in an endless circle of life. Always more to do than can be done. And nothing changes. An endless circular repetition with no lasting impact. Nothing genuinely new. Nothing that will last. Nothing that will satisfy. No gain to be had. Excuse me. Now, forgive another old movie reference. In Dead Poets Society, where Robin Williams plays that English teacher so brilliantly, there is a scene in which he gathers in the school hall and asks the boys to step over to the photos, the black and white photos of the boys from many years before. And he says to them, look, you've walked past many times, but you've never really stopped to look at them. They're not much different from you. Same hopes, same hormones. Look at them. They are food for worms, lads. And like them, you will stop breathing, go cold, and die. And he says, listen, can you hear them whisper to you? Carpe, carpe, carpe diem. Seize the day. Make your life extraordinary. And it's moving the 50th time. The problem is how. How do you make your life extraordinary? Stop to think about it. We have never heard of almost everyone who has ever lived. Most of the fraction of people that we have heard of, we've never met personally. Even the tiny fraction we've heard of and read about in our history books, well, they are incompletely remembered. Is there any impression that we can make that our inevitable death will not erase? Our life is like those sandcastles on the beach. Either the wind or the waves will just get rid of them, and there will be nothing left. Verse 11. No one remembers the former generations. And even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I realised that when my mum died, that the generation of my great-grandparents were just going to be completely forgotten. I remember one of their names, but that's because my sister's named after them. But I could tell you absolutely nothing at all about their life. From their precious life, there's absolutely no leftover at all, nothing. Their life has made as much impact as the wind blowing around north to south. And one day that will be true of you. One day you will be dead and buried, and the world will go on, probably without even remembering you. 100 years after your death, chances are no one will ever even know you lived or care. And it will be exactly the same for your children and your grandchildren. How's that for perspective when your son graduates from uni or your daughter lands that promotion she's always dreamed of? No one will remember them. Now, this is obviously true whether or not you are a follower of Jesus Christ, because we all live under the same sun. The preacher isn't saying, this is what life is like if you're not a Christian, but obviously it's different if you are. No, this is life for all of us, whether we're an ardent atheist or a committed Christian. This side of eternity, everything is hevel. Everything. And that means there is no gain and no lasting impact. And unless we deep down feel this to be true, we will continue to try to live our lives as if we can make an impact and make a difference. We'll bury our heads in the sand and we'll pretend that death is really for other people and that we will go on trying to make our mark in this world. One writer says, what we do is we try and play let's pretend. Let's pretend that if we get a promotion or see our church grow or bring up good children, we'll feel significant and leave a lasting legacy behind us. Let's pretend that if we change jobs or emigrate to the sun, we won't experience the humdrum tedium and ordinariness of life. Let's pretend that if we move on to a new house, we'll be happier and we won't need to move again. Let's pretend if we end one relationship and start a new one, we won't ever feel trapped. Let's pretend that if we were married or weren't married, we would be content. Let's pretend that if we had more money, we would be satisfied. Let's pretend that if we get through this week's pile of washing and dirty nappies and shopping lists and school runs and busy evenings, that next week will be quieter. Let's pretend that time is always on our side to do the things we want to do and become the people we want to be. Let's pretend we can break free from the cycle of repetition and finally arrive in a world free of weariness. And the preacher says, stop playing let's pretend. Stop it. Don't try and escape reality. Everything under the sun is hevel. Escape is impossible. Now, at this point, we might be beginning to think, well, surely it's time for the preacher to tell us about God. For the preacher's message about toiling for no gain sounds very much what our Lord Jesus Christ will tell us in the New Testament. When he says to us, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But Jesus says instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, when Jesus speaks of treasure, of course, he means more than just cash. He's speaking of what we value, of everything that we think is gain. Well, Jesus has an investment tip for us. He tells us that the bottom is going to fall out of the earthly market, whereas treasures in heaven is going to pay out big time. Jesus says to us, do you want gain? Well, don't invest in the here and now. Invest in my kingdom. Invest, store up treasures in heaven. See, Jesus agrees with the preacher. All of our strivings about just leave us with a handful of nothing. Life is fleeting. And investing in the now, therefore, is futile. Well, if you find all of this mildly depressing, then come back, because the preacher has more to say. But think about this. Maybe you don't need to be or do something big or important with your life. In the swimming pool of hevel, I mean, maybe you just don't need to leave an indent in a swimming pool. I mean, after all, that's not the point of swimming pools, is it? Maybe you can be content and invest in Jesus and the world to come. And instead of thrashing about trying to make an impact when you really can't, maybe you can just rest and trust Jesus Christ and splash around a bit and enjoy life, despite the fact that everything under the sun is hevel. Let's pray. Again, we thank you, our Father, for this strange book and its message to us, bringing us face to face with reality. And we thank you for the way in which we've seen that the message of the Lord Jesus is the same. And we pray that we would learn not to invest in the here and now, but to store up treasures in heaven. Help us this week as we reflect upon what we've heard, as we think it over, as we meditate upon it, that we would learn to be wise. Amen.